Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Man, I like this is what we got going right now. This is our African American History Month specials, and it's, you know, history in the making, owning our place in history as our topics. And I've been able to have some great friends of mine, you know, be on the show with me, and they're talking about themselves and what they do, where they've come from, what they've been through. And, you know, I've got Tim Rogers on the phone. Tim, are you out there for me?
Yes, I am. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Man, outstanding. It's good to hear from you. And, of course, great to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Now, in keeping with our topic of history in the making, really owning our place in history, you know, when the Lord gave me this, Mike, I was frustrated, you know, with the whole standpoint of what a history maker looked like. And did I have to constantly go back to the black and white photos of, you know, who someone might have been or not might have been? And, you know, is that really Frederick Douglass? Is that really Harriet Tubman? Is that really, you know, Sojourner Truth on these black and white photos? It could have been anybody because I wasn't there. I didn't know who these people were. But I wanted to make sure we brought people on the show that were history makers, that were the people that I knew, that I can say, yes, I know who that is. I know who such and such is. And I know who you are and the impact that you're making on our family. So in the thought of this topic, do you see yourself as a history maker?
Yes, I do. In a lot of ways, you know, especially from my background of being from a disadvantaged neighborhood back in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, I was raised up as a person who people never thought would have opportunity to be able to accomplish much. My environment that I was raised up in, my mom was only able to influence us to make it through high school. And that was, to me, that was a blessing at the time because my neighborhood, we really didn't have many people to go to college. But it was really my mom. You speak of Frederick Douglass, the people that you hear about, but you don't know. I always put my mother along those same lines because of, even though she never graduated from high school, but she had six kids, four boys and two girls, and she was inspiring and making sure that we did at least make it through high school, and then gave us the resources that we need. When I said resources, the love and the care, so we can pursue other avenues. And thank God, I would say all of my sister and brother, we were successful in our own right. So I would put my mom there along with Frederick Douglass because they was all inspiring, but we didn't know them. We didn't see them. But my mother, she really was the epitome of a hero in my life. My father, he was incarcerated, so he wasn't around. So my mom had to carry the burden of six children, babies. And she was pretty successful in making sure that we all was accomplished and respectful adults.
So when you were growing up, Tim, what was it like to not have your dad around? I mean, because I know what the stigma is, right? And what we know what the society says about that, but you've lived through that. What is it like to have to make that kind of history-making step to grow through and grow up in a household where your dad wasn't ever around?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I really didn't notice because we had the neighborhood. Even though I was from the projects, the projects was your family. And we did have men, even though they wasn't professional men, they did make sure that whenever we got in trouble, they reported back to my mom, or they tried to make sure that we didn't fight, or they tried to break it up. So when they say your neighborhood is your village, I really did grow up in a village. So I really didn't miss my father until I became a young adult, when I couldn't do those basic things as working a car or cut grass, even though we didn't have grass in the projects. But when I got my own house, I didn't know how to cut grass or, you know, it were those. Even to even tie a necktie, I didn't know how to tie a tie, things like that. My brothers, they didn't have a father as well, my dad, so they didn't know how to do those things. But it was those little manly things that I know that a man should do, especially when I became a father. I just didn't know what to do. In addition to that, I really didn't know how to be a father because I never had an example of one in my household. Even though I had my neighborhood adults, but they was not my father. And then plus even though they encouraged me not to exert bad behavior, but there was not inside my household to really give me that mentoring and that training to become a man. So that's what I miss about not having a father.
Now, where did you get that shaping of your how to be a father and husband from? Because I've known you and I've seen you around my kids and I've seen your kids grow up. You would not have ever known that you grew up without a father. As far as I was concerned, I thought you always had, you know, 2 or 20 fathers and your mothers in your house, and because you are definitely a constant person. You have God in your life. You have, you know, you don't have the kind of come and go wavering mentality at all, and your kids are solid. Where did you learn that from?
Well, I believe a lot. I learned that from the church. Even though I didn't become part of the church until I was 26 or 27 years old, I really learned from the men that was in the church, how they respect their wives, how they always were with their children. And through men Bible study, I learned how to be a man. Plus, believe it or not, it was my mother inside of me who always wanted to give respect to my wife, first and foremost. And my mother, she treated us with kindness. She treated us, even though we wasn't allowed to talk about each other, we wasn't allowed to talk about as well. So it was really when I became part of the church, and I went to church because I was in a lot of trouble. But I became part of the church. But those men in the church, they was older men, even though I was 26, 27, they was in their 40s, and they really showed me what it's like to be a father and how to love your kids. And I guess by me taking my kids to church as well, it really was impactful. It was the men in the church.
Did you have those moments when you could have made a choice to have gone the wrong way? Or did you ever never think about crossing the line and following the way that your father had set in your bloodline?
Oh, of course I did. I would be telling a lie if I said I didn't. By me not knowing how to be a father or a husband, you know, I always have heard about that first 2 year itch of, you know, if you can survive in the marriage first 2 years, you'll be okay. When I was young, that kind of entered my mind. And plus, I was a young man who was running scared. It wasn't no excuse, but I stayed in the game mainly because of my kids, because a lot of adults that I grew up with, it wasn't no fathers around. So I wanted to make sure I stuck in and really stuck in with my kids. And I think that really helped. In addition to that, I was in the Navy. And being in the Navy, we really did have a lot of men that was good family men. And I kind of observed what they did as well. But it was some innate ability in me that wanted to be there for my kids and wanted to be the best that I possibly can. And believe it or not, by my father not being there, I wanted to be there for my kids.
Now, what made you decide to choose the Navy route? Because I know my dad did 26 and a half in the Navy, and you know, in 79, it was a big time for him. You know, I was around then, but he had been in for many years before I came around. I was the last of the group. But what made you choose that route of learning?
Well, you know, I still laugh today. I think I was just talking to a young man about this yesterday. Morehouse came to my house when I was a senior, and my mom didn't have the registration fee to pay for me to go to Morehouse. And the guy came over, I don't know if he's a counselor or whatever, he talked to me, he talked to my mom, but I seen on my mother's face how she had, with dignity, she said she would get the money, but she didn't have the ability to get the money. That was, even $20, $25 back then was a lot of money. And I had an opportunity to go to Morehouse. My grades wasn't the best, but what the guy who came over did make a point is we bring in young men, not because of what the grades they have, but giving them an opportunity. But it really was when I seen my mother's face, as knowing I was going to become an adult, I wanted to go out and do things for myself. So a buddy of mine's They had the buddy-buddy program at the time. Me and my buddy Edward, who I grew up with, we joined the Navy together. We knew the recruiter because the recruiter mother was one of my teachers. So we both went in together. Even though Edward only did a year and a half, he ended up getting kicked out. But I stayed in, thank God. God kept me in. And that's how, that's the reason, really reason why I joined the Navy, because my mom, she didn't have the money to even get me to go to Morehouse. Not even the registration fee.
Well, so, now both of your kids, didn't they went to college and both have finished. Now, I don't recall, did both of your kids or just one of them go to an HCBU?
TJ went to he went to HBCU for the his first year, and then he transitioned out.
Okay.
He went to Benedict
okay.
College.
Okay.
Yeah, Christy, she ended up going to college in Connecticut, and then she ended up going to the University of Alabama, where she finished her master's and finished her bachelor of masters. And I think before we tonight, before we started, I told her she just got a job at UCLA, and she's an adjunct professor as well, online.
That's
so they're doing really well.
Now, when you look back on where your kids are now, and you look at where God brought you from to get them here, what does that make you think about in terms of history?
You know, it's kind of hard to put a finger on that question, but I can word it like this. You never know what God is doing in your life. The friends that I had, such as yourself, Billy and Dee McCarty, Sivvy and Martin Walker, Alonzo and Deborah Sims, Connie and Jay Harrison, and some more people. Somehow God centered us. We didn't ask for it, but God centered us around people. We all had the same like-minded. We all wanted success for ourselves, and we wanted success for our kids. We want an education for our kids. It's the environment that God put us in. We didn't pray for that. Most people would pray for it, but I'll be honest with you, we didn't pray for it. God give us the best friends and all that stuff. God made it happen. And by that, by us being adults, by going to college, by being around people who wanted education, we all kind of gravitate around each other and make sure we push that within our kids as well.
That's awesome.
And my wife, of course, I met my wife. She already had a bachelor's degree from Indiana University. And she just got her doctorate degree in October. And I'll be done with my doctorate here in April.
Well, that's amazing. We're going to come right back to that. We're going to take our first break, Tim, and we'll be right back to the Raising Men Show. We're talking about history in the making. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're right back now to the Raising Men Show, and we're in segment two. And again, the topic of the show, what we're doing for all of the month of February, is history in the making. It's owning our place in history. And my guest today is, you know, Tim Rogers, and a gentleman has come up through in my life, making a huge an impact. And people say, well, what do the people do for you? How do they impact you? Well, I tell you what, Tim, we met you at a time when my wife and I were always looking for couples to to kind of gravitate to and hang around with and have fun with and get to basically get to know and grow with. And I remember one day Sandy, she was always looking for people that she knew I was kind of particular about people. And so she came to me and she says, "Hey, I got some couples that we should go to dinner with or hang out with. And what do you think about Bill and Dawana? What do you think about Tim and Vonda?" And I was like, sure. Yeah. I mean, I had met you when I had met Bill and them one time at an event that they had. And I remember you had, we're always talking, I could always learn something, you know, new and different when I talked to you, whether it be just a word from the Lord or whatever. And I want to make sure that you knew that you've always inspired me to do more, inspired me to do better and never give up. And to me, that's historical because you don't always find men in your life that are doing something, that are about anything. When you want someone to talk about you and introduce you at a banquet, for instance, what would you want someone to say about you for sure as they introduced you and they brought you up to speak?
That's an awesome question, and that's a very humbling question. That's a question that me as an individual, it'd be very hard to answer, but I'll go ahead and give it a shot. Of course, I would like for somebody to say I am a man of God, first and foremost, but that is the stereotypical answer. So I would like people look at me and say, he came a long way. When we look at the Second Chronicles, when they say, when Paul said he ran the race, and we ran the race, I ran the race, I finished the race. And I fought a good fight. What I mean by fought a good fight, I persevered. I didn't give up. I don't know if you know, but I'm retired twice now. I retired from the Navy, and I retired from the government as the first black IT program manager for the Navy SEALs, which I'm very proud of that. And I'm working on my doctorate right now. I'm always pursuing excellence. And where does that excellence come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. When they say you ran the race, you fought the good fight, you're always striving, not for you're striving for yourself, but it's for others to see, not only to see, but what can I do by inspiring not only younger people of generation like the millennials, but also our generations, people in our generation, and doing it with a humble spirit by serving them. When I say serve them, not just by saying, but doing. And that's what I would say. If somebody had to say, what mark did I have on this earth, that's how I would like for them to represent me.
Yeah, and I
ran the race, I fought the fight, and I persevered, I never gave up. No matter how hard it is at times, I'm just like everybody else. I don't want to get up and do my homework just like children, but I have to. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in order to get it done.
And it's funny you said that because I always remember almost the whole time I've met you and known you, you were always taking a class. It felt like Tim was in school like forever doing one thing or another. And I never could understand because Sandy and I would, you know, we would talk about, you know, things I would do because we were always trying to hustle and for a while in our marriage, Sandy didn't work. And so there was only one income in the house. So I always knew I had to be on the hustle. I had to be on the grind. And I always said, man, I don't know how Tim does it. Working a full-time job, being a husband and a father too, and going to school. And I knew you were the type of person, you weren't going to bring home any low grades because you demanded that your kids didn't bring home any low grades. So you always, that's one thing I do know about you for sure. And men that are listening, I think it's important to know. I know the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, because there's only two things you really have in this word, and this is your last name and your word. And so you have to be able to make sure that both of them are worth something. And if you say you're going to do something, you do it. You do what you say and you say what you do. And that's one thing I definitely knew about you. You don't play games. You don't mess around. I mean, you laugh and talk. You're a funny guy. But when it comes to trying to get work done, oh, no. I'll miss the party before I miss my work. You know? And that's you. I mean, because there were many parts like, where's Tim? Well, you know, Vonda's here having a good time. Oh, you know, Tim got homework. Tim got to get up in the morning. And you were always that drive for me because I'm like, dude, I felt like I was like inadequate. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just raising some kids. Tim's got kids and a job. where do you get that drive and that passion come from, and how do you stir that up when it gets low?
I did it for my kids, and not only for my kids, for my godchildren. I got 12 godchildren total, and I really always pushed myself. The kids really never had an excuse by saying, "Well, Dad, how could you tell me to do A, B when you never walked A, B?" So I always did stuff so they could see me and hopefully that I imitate what I did. So what I do. So nobody never gave me some people gave me a chance, but the majority of people didn't think I was going to be successful. And everybody's successful in their own right, of how they visualize themselves, how they view themselves. But nobody never gave me a chance. I can be honest with you, I wasn't a good writer. I was good at math, but nobody never gave me a chance. So therefore, I had to have a made up mind once I had my children of who I was going to be and how I was going to conduct myself. And I tried to take advantage of every opportunity that I had for either certifications, because I was I'm a cybersecurity expert, or I had some, which means even though I was a leader in the government. I was over contracts. I had over $50 million in budgeting. I still had to continue to make myself better, not only for my kids, but my workforce. I'm a firm believer. You can't be a leader without having some of those skills. Or you can't tell the workforce they have to have certain requirements. You should at least attempt, even though you can't pass, some leaders can't pass a certification test. You should attempt, at least you know what's on it. So you can, when your individual is struggling in your workforce, you can reach down and talk to them, and they can understand where you're coming from because you've been there. That's how Jesus Christ did business. I always try to emulate him when it comes to pushing myself and making sure I have balance as well. But as long as I follow Christ, I believe my children will they will learn to follow Christ in that direction as well. As far as better themselves, so when they have their kids, hopefully they'll be the same way. They'll look at their father and say, "We're doing it because how your grandfather did business." Now, education is number one.
Now, how did you get into the? I know you said you went to the military, but into IT. I mean, where did that come from? Because I know I got into IT from a college standpoint, where I just wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, and I took a couple of those military. Advancements tests when they come to school and figure out what you really want to do. And I thought, oh, telecommunications, I score it well. Engineering, I score it well. In the topic, and I went to Northridge to do it. Where did you get that interest to do telecommunications?
That's funny you said that. You know, I had problems with drug and alcohol when I was in the Navy. And I wanted to give back by going to be a drug and alcohol rehab counselor. And it's funny, for some reason, every time I applied for it, they always came back and told me no. Wow. I don't know why. They always came back and said, no, you have not been accepted for this job. I said, okay. So it just so happened I was at this training organization where they needed, I would go on board ships and we'll train them on how to prepare for war. They take on a missile, how to fight a missile to keep the ship keep the warship afloat, through mass casualties and things like that. And it just so happened computers was big in 1998 and 1999, and that when the ships started getting hacked by threats from different countries. And my boss said, "Hey, we need to learn how to be smart on IT, this new thing called IT." It wasn't communication at the time. That was only 19 years ago. And I had computers at home, and I say, "I'm working on computers at home." He said, "Well, you it." I was a chief at the time. He said, "Well, chief, you it. We're going to send you to school, and that's how you're going to become our trainer." Cybersecurity first was called information assurance, which means we had to protect the information. We had to ensure that information was protected and build these controls around it. So I was the first one to implement within the Navy a checklist for, this is what you do to protect your network. And I was one of the first, me and a buddy of mine, we were the first one to start a program called Afloat Training Specialist, which was for the communication / IT people to get certified. That's when we became pushing it towards what is the commercial certifications that's out there. And I got all the top commercial certification that's out there. But that's how I got started, because we needed, the government needed, the military needed somebody to go out there and just say, hey, we need somebody to go out there and find a solution. And I was one of the first to become part of the solution.
And that's historical in itself, because as you're looking in life, those, you know, who are listening out there, that if you ever wondered how your life could change, how your life could impact, and Tim, I'm sure as you were in the Navy, you never realized how much of an impact and an imprint that you have made on the military. Had you not done it, I can't honestly say that they would have been as far as they are along now. It could have taken a few more years before they even got into the process and place where they are today.
Yeah, the military, they adjust well. It wouldn't have taken a couple more years. We know we had a need. Somebody would have stepped up eventually. And even though my results would have probably been different, but they would eventually would have came around to the same results. So military is a robust organization. If there's a need, one thing about the military, they'll figure it out. So I would like to know that I was part of the forefront of the cybersecurity. And believe it or not, it was an easy process, because all I did was to take what was out there and mimic it and put it in the environment for that fit the environment. You got different types of ships. So, of course, communication worked differently, even though the information goes out the same direction. And that's what I did. I just built what was out there, took it, and made sure it made sense to the sailors. And that's how I live my life. Whatever is out there, chaos or whatever, I take it and I mimic it and I make sure I fit it and where it belongs in the environment that it fits. Our church is different. Our family is different. Like Jesus said, all of us are different. We all made in His image, though. So as long as we know we made in His image, how we get there, a lot of people get there in different ways, but we eventually get there so we can communicate the same. But yes, I was one of the forefronts to make it short.
What's historical? And that's what we're talking about doing this month with the shows. And I know that we don't have enough time at every show and every place to give all of the leaders out there, but it's another one of those, another example of a behind-the-scenes person. Yeah, I didn't know that you were on the forefront of that, and I'm sure a lot of other people didn't as well. So as you're going through life and you're trying to figure out what you want to do, how you want to do it, you have to remember that every moment in your life leads to some form of historical moment. If you want to be a positive moment in history, then that's fine. If you want to be a negative moment in history, that's even easier. But we want to all make sure we're moving in the right direction. So we're moving right now to a break, but we'll be right back. I've got here on the Raising Men Show with my guest, Tim Rogers.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're right back again to the Raise the Men Show, and we're hoping you are enjoying it. I know I am. And, you know, you get a chance to meet some of the people that are in my life that have made a difference, have made an impact on me. Off air, during the commercial break, Tim and I were talking about people who were involved and close to us. And, you know, I was sharing with Tim, I was like, man, you're special to me and my family because I don't let just anybody around my kids. I don't. And for those who know me, there's a real small, tight group of people that have actually, one, been in my house, two, that are around my kids, excuse me, and three, actually, I let the kids go over and spend time at their house because when people are, so Tim, let's just be serious about it for a second. Cybersecurity is what you do. As parents, we should be doing cybersecurity around who is influencing our kids. If we're not pouring into our kids and being an influence and being the security gate and making sure we're monitoring that influence, then we've got a problem. So, you know, you're one of those people that I let the kids go to. Because I mean, when you live down, you know, down near the water, the kids go, oh, yeah, we want to go to Mr. Tim and Mr. Vonda's, Ms. Vonda's house. And we want to go hang out. And they come back with all these great stories and things that you've said and the moments that you've shared with them. And they feel safe. And I know that they're safe. I could go out of town. I could even drop dead. Not that I would, Lord forgive, not done my time. But, and I know people like you could take care of the kids. And I would never worry about that. People need to understand that we need to, as parents, step up and be the parents, be the men, the women of God that we're supposed, and from God that we're supposed to be.
That's right.
Tim, help men today understand where should they be and how should they get there? Because I think sometimes people get a little bit confused that, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be there. I can't be the next Martin Luther King. I can't be the next Barack Obama. I can't be the next whoever the great leader is. But if we can just lead in our house, if we can lead in our families, if we can lead personally, then it's not going to take, the whole village then becomes leaders. Our kids become self-sufficient. They're not looking for someone else trying to be magical in their life because their father and their mothers are magical in their life. They're doing it. You know what I'm saying? How do you help those guys and encourage those guys who didn't have a father to still see that you made it because you wanted it?
Mm-hmm. I worked hard too. But the key for me was not only men in the church, but you know, the Bible, I don't know exactly what verse is in, but in Book of Timothy, they talk about how we got to be responsible for our flock. And when I look at that, responsible for a flock, yeah, a lot of men go working in the churches a lot and things like that, and which is fine. I do the same thing. But your flock is your family, which means you got to be watchful over your flock. Oftentimes, a lot of men that may disagree with this, but all the work that you're doing in the church, who's watching your family? I mean, church got needs, but guess what? Your family have needs as well. That's why you often hear about the children in the church are going astray, because that church is a building, but your body is the church as well. And if you're not there for, if you're not well balanced by making sure you have that time with your family, we're talking about quality time. We're not talking about just going to a movie. When you go to a movie, guess what? You got other folks entertaining your kids. We're not talking about going to a football game or a basketball game. Guess what? Somebody else out there playing basketball, throwing the ball in the air, entertaining your kids. Whenever you actually went outside and just went in the backyard and just started talking or just walking around and just cut the TV off and having family time and finding out about your kids' day, finding out about your wife day. When have men actually, if your wife is working, you do the cooking, you do the cleaning up, you fold the clothes, you do all those things that help unload the load on her so she can be a better mother, not only to the kids, but be a better wife to you. But when it comes to men, I have learned to take care of my flock. Oftentimes, you hear the church talk about the flock and talking about how your finances and all that stuff. And believe me, I believe in tithing and all that good stuff because that's how the Lord has blessed me in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I had to learn to get into the Word and let the Lord speak to me and marinate in me what those things mean to me. Because at the end of the day, you're responsible for going to heaven, not nobody else. It's your responsibility for going to getting in heaven. Your responsibility for your kids. Now, I mean, when me and Craig was talking, I told him, even my family, when I go back to Birmingham, I didn't let my kids just go run up on my brothers and all of them. You know, I love them and sit in their laps. Because I know when my kids were babies, I always have my friends' kids come running to me and want me to pick them up and put them on my lap. And I said, no, that's your dad. I used to always say, no, that's your dad. Go see your dad. Because that baby, when that, especially that little girl and that boy, when they're babies, they should only be cuddled by their parents or their grandparents. They don't need to be sitting on no other man's lap. And another man should respect that and turn that kid back to the rightful owners, which is the parents. So I always have been careful over my kids. Just like you said, cybersecurity, you have to protect that household, because what you allow in your house, guess what? When them kids get older, and when they say, Dad, Mom, you did ABC, you don't have anything to say because you didn't protect them. Well, I don't mean by land different spirits and stuff. Yes, you can let different spirits, but you got to be protective of your kids and your family and your wife, too. That's why oftentimes a lot of men's wives go astray, or the men go astray, because they're not protective of each other. So you can be in the church, you can know the word, but are you living the word? And the word is freeing. And I learned to be around men in the church. Now, we talk about these things. That's why I love Bible study. But we talk about realness. I don't want a Bible study. We're going to have a pastor. I was associate pastor as well. When you have a pastor, and all of a sudden, he got to be elevated in a Bible study. It's like, no, he's a man just like me. We're going to respect him for his position. But at the same token, that's why we have Bible study, as men Bible study. We're going to talk about realness. It ain't no fakeness when it comes to that. And I was the type of associate pastor. I was like, no, we got to talk, man, because at the end of the day, I got to rely on one of you guys when I need help instead of going to another pastor. I want to talk to somebody that's deep in the trenches, who I respect, who kids are raised up, that raised up and taking care of their kids. And I know that person. But men, we have to be real with ourselves. If you ain't taking care of your family, you ain't got the leg to stand on when your kids are, I don't care if they may be successful in school, but your daughter may not be successful in a marriage because of what she has seen you do. Your son may go out there and be talking bad to his wife or mistreating his wife because you may not have talked bad to your wife, but he's seen how you mistreat your wife by not being there. So it's all the same thing in my view. I don't believe in opinions. In my view, they're all the same thing. So, men, you have to take care of your flock. The Bible talks about that. And that flock is what in your immediate area, which is your family. And oftentimes, we are so busy. Now, keep it simple. You got a job, you got church, and you got family. I learned a long time ago by going to a men's conference. First is God, it's Jesus, it's wife, it's children, it's work, and it's church. You know, the church is in the sixth place. Why? You can't have... You can't survive without God. You can't survive without Jesus. God, they won. You can't survive. You shouldn't be able to survive without your wife. You got to be able to be there with your children. You can't support the church if you're not working. So, but somehow we have twisted it, and we got church weighed at the top. But God came again in because you had the church. You before God.
Ooh, that's
so
good.
Nothing wrong with that, but you just got to put it in perspective. And you have to put this in perspective. If that teaching is not there, you should have an open door policy that you go talk to the pastor so y'all can get real on making sure the flock is getting what they need, not for you as one individual, but the need to be there. But the bottom line is, you're responsible for your seed, and your seed is what God put in you, which is your children. You're responsible for your wife. I learned a long time ago that I do not go to bed angry with my wife. I learned a long time ago that me as a man, I'm responsible for saying I'm sorry, even if she did something wrong, because I'm responsible for the spirit in my household. So I have to say I'm sorry just to hold peace in my household. That's what a man have to do. It ain't about your house is your castle. No, you're responsible for that spirit that's in that house. And if your wife is not, she in a bad mood or whatever, just go and say, baby, I'm sorry. I apologize. She said, for what? I'm apologizing just to make sure that everything is okay. It ain't about having a chip on the shoulder when it comes to your wife. That's why you married her. You guys are together. You guys two became one in the spirit of God.
You know what's funny?
That's what I got to say about that.
Well, it's funny because that's great. When you were talking, and it brought a word to my mind that men, and we set the atmosphere in our household, our wives set the temperature. Mm-hmm. You know,
so,
you know,
And, I like that.
in the scripture that you were bringing forth, Tim, I do believe is from 1 Timothy 3, and it deals, and it's, a lot of it is talking about deacons and overseers in churches. And in particular, I know around verse 4, it talks about a man must own, must manage his own household well. Not just manage it, but manage it well, keeping his children under control with all dignity, keeping them respectful and well-behaved. Now, I'm reading from the Amplified, so it's adding in the descriptors, the adjectives in there for us to better understand what the Greek and Hebrew is saying here. So, for if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And he must not be a new convert, so he must be, everything must be well-behaved and stupid. He must be not be conceited by the appointment of his high office and fall into the same condemnation or incurred by the devil for his arrogance and pride. And that goes back to what we've been talking about this whole time is when you're making history and you're owning your place in history, you have to also own your shortcomings. We have to own what we need to learn and grow more. And we have to own our place in the lives of others. So when we talk about the generational things that we're putting in our family's bloodlines, we have to understand what's there, what's not there, what we don't want to be there from that we inherited from our bloodlines, from our past. And you know, some people think, oh, he's getting all super spiritual, he's trying to get to. Well, no. People start going to these whole, you know, what are these, these people who are doing the, looking at your background and finding where you come from. It's the same thing. If I don't know where I've come from and what's in where I've been, I'm not going to know where I'm going. And that's the whole point of history in the making. We need to know not only the history where we've come from, but we need to understand that everything we do, say, or come from is making history. It's leaving that legacy. It's making an impact on our life. We can't get mad at our 45, it's being our president. But when we caused it, we raised up that generation. We made sure that the next 46, 47, and beyond are doing the right thing for the eyes of God. We'll be right back, continuing more about history in the making on the Raising Men Show.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back for our final segment of the Raising Men Show. Man, I'm having a great time learning a lot, being blessed by God in this whole process. Tim, I tell you what, we were off air. We were talking about being purposeful in our lives. And this is our last segment. So we've got to make sure that we got to really drive this thing home because we're talking about history in the making, owning our place in history. And as parents, especially men, head of households, we have to make sure that we're owning our place in our houses. And our kids and our wives and owning that space. And people say, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about owning from a physical property standpoint. I'm talking about being responsible for what we're doing, what we're saying. Like we talked about before, men, we set the atmosphere. And the atmosphere, you know, that'll tell you if it's going to rain or if the sun's going to shine. It's going to even tell you how hot it's really going to be, how much humidity, because the atmospheric pressure is it makes you feel like the room is light or the room feels like it's like closing in on you. That's what the atmosphere is talking about. Yeah, our wives and the mothers do set the temperature in the room, because if mama's hot, that house is going to be hot. And if she's running cold, Lord heaven help us, you better go get 4 or 5 blankets because the house is going to be frozen ice block. You know what I'm saying? But we still set that, because even with the atmosphere, it will only allow the temperature to go up or down so much based on what it's doing. Tim, how do we get better with that? How do we make sure that our kids understand that we need to be focused and purposeful? How are we to become focused and purposeful in our lives with our kids and wives and families?
By being intentional. You know, when you're intentional, you know who you are. You know your ID. You know your identification, and people know what ID is. When you're intentional, you set your goals. You make sure your principles are aligned with what who you are. You make sure your values are lined up. But when you're intentional, you mentioned earlier, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. When you're intentional, you'll have more yes than no's. Not saying you're going to be a yes all the time, but guess what? You write it down and you go back to it and make that yes that was last year, could have been the year before, become that drop down to a no, become a yes. Your kids see you doing something intentional, they're going to be there. If you know your sons or daughters are struggling with some kind of homework assignment, if you tell your kid, hey, we're going to meet at 8 o'clock at night, meet there at 8 o'clock at night. Don't be on the phone. Don't worry about the football game. Be intentional by investing in your kids. You're going to be great. And when you become great in their eyes, that's all you got to worry about. You don't have to worry about greatness outside the eyes. Much as I was gone at sea, one thing my kids cannot say, whenever I was here, I was there. And I'm going to tell you something, Craig, what's amazing. And my granddaughter, one of my goddaughters at Vista Marietta High School, she always called me and said, Uncle Tim, you'll be at my basketball game. I make that trek up there. But when I was in the Navy, I was on a carrier. You know, the big carrier with all the airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
On a Sunday, I was training that ship. I was drilling her too. I was beating them down so bad. So I just made a joke when I talked to the captain of that ship. I said, he said, well, Chief, how you doing? I said, well, I wish I was at home with my granddaughter. I said, my goddaughter. That's my goddaughter's getting baptized today. Tomorrow is Sunday. That was on a Saturday, was at sea. And I said, I wish I was there. And she was getting baptized at the church. And believe it or not, he said, I'm going to make sure that happens. He flew me off the ship, off the carrier, and I made it there for my goddaughter for a baptism.
That's awesome.
Now, that's favor. And it was intentional. I did not realize that, but I said something, and he made it happen because my spirit, I wanted to be there for Kennedy. And I was there. Yeah. I was there. But everything that we do, we got to be intentional. Just like when you first dated your wife, man, we did everything intended. The only thing we wanted to do, we did it. We made sure we bought her flowers. We made sure we called. When we said we're going to be there at 8, we'll be there at 7:30. You know, we did but we lose that. Not only with your wife, but you lose that with your kids as well. When your kids were first born, you made sure you was there. When the kids, you was there. You got to be intentional. When it comes to your family, you got to. And that's where your purpose is driven from. That's where your drive, that's where your determination. If you want the kids, if you want your kids to be the best, they always got to see you striving. Not necessarily you're going to be successful at it all the time, but it's your perspective of what they're going to see. They're going to see how you handle things. They're going to see, even though you may be demoralized, but how were you demoralized? Did you show it? Our kids don't know nearly the things that we went through. Now, we wanted to make sure they had no problems.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I had to make sure my wife didn't have no problems. Even though she didn't know a lot of stuff, I had to do to keep peace in the household. Because why? I'm responsible for my family. Today's society, they teach you that man is nothing. I'm going to say one thing before we leave. I had to go to Birmingham, Alabama for my research. I'm doing research on African-American relationship with law enforcement because of all the racial injustice that happened with the African-American male. And I interviewed six people that was part of that was the children of the civil rights era. And I think it's lined up with your discussion of today. One lady, Miss Kelsey, that I talked to, she went to jail in 1963 when she was 7 years old. These are people in Birmingham. We talked about how the Martin Luther King, the Frederick Douglass, and all those folks, but those unsung heroes was those children of the civil rights era that went to jail. And I felt so embarrassed because she was only 71 years old, and I'm 55 right now. And I'm like, wow, what happened? She's not that much older than me. And I went home and I talked to my mom. your mom say, you know, and I asked her about that. She said, because I didn't put y'all.
We lost Tim there for a second, but we got him back. Tim, you back there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to start what I left off at. Yes, I was saying that Miss Kelsey was only 7 years old when she went to jail for the civil rights era because things were so tough back then. But I asked my mom, after I interviewed her and several other children of the civil rights era who was incarcerated, by the way, for the movement, I said, why we didn't know anything about that? She said, because she was afraid that we was going to get killed. So she kept us away from everything that was going on. And I said that because when we look at our unsung heroes, we have Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, and Bethune-Cookman and all those folks, which is great, but it's the ones that actually had boots on the ground that was inspiring to us. That's the same thing when I meet people like yourself, Craig. You're inspiring to me because you boots on the ground. You're in the ground with your kids, with your boys. I have other friends that's out there. They inspiring. Yes, we have people, great people by great names, but we got to realize our greatness is within by knowing who we are, by knowing our identity. So we don't lose that spiritual side of us, which by my walk of life is only Christ that I know. But the bottom line is I know people that's outside of Christ too that have been inspiration in my life. And I have learned, I have managed to show them my way of life. So now we kind of share our ways of life and make it very productive as friends. But at the same time, it's who you are. It was significant to you. And I encourage all men to make sure they intentionally being the man of their household when it comes to their wife, when it comes to their children, even when it comes to their neighbors, because you never know who's going to call on you. And step up to the game. Quit playing games. When I say quit playing games, I'm not asking not to continue to have fun. It's fun being around people with like-minded. And it's fun being around people that you can actually change their way of how they're doing business. But marriage is still a sacred value. Your children are still yours. Be responsible for them. And yes, kids, they kind of revert after 18 years old, like I did. But guess what? They're still your children until God see you or them to go to heaven. So men have to learn to be men. God never say that men are not men. I never saw that in the Bible outside of the Bible. You are a man, so be responsible. If you don't know how, reach out to somebody that you really look up to and ask them how they're doing it. You know, what are they doing that's different? Because whatever you're doing that's not working, change it. I do it all the time. I got friends I tap into that make me better. Men, we have, like Bob said, iron sharpens iron. We have to learn to get rid of that pride and just do what we need to do because it's a hard battle trying to fight this fight alone. And sometimes, we got Christ with us in each other's path so we can use each other. And sometimes we don't talk about the Bible, but we end up praying at the end of the day because Christ is in the center of it. So men have to learn to trust men. And that's how men can't trust men, there's no way you can go in your household and call yourself being a productive father or a successful father. And when you have not seen other men emulating what success is about, and it's nothing comes easy, but it's much easier when you're not fighting this fight alone. You run this race, but somebody's encouraging you along the way. So I'll be praying for all the brothers out there. I'll be praying for all our sisters out there. I'll be praying for myself as well, my children, because I feel proud of who I was, who I become, because there's no way I can be where I'm at if I didn't realize where I came from, So I'm very proud of who I become today, and because I keep striving, and my perspective is, my outlook is greatness. It's greatness, and apparently I'm a humble person. But a lot of my friends, they look up to me just like I look up to them. So, in order for me to have 12 godchildren, I must be doing something right.
Well, you definitely
and they hold me accountable too.
Well, you definitely are doing something right. I don't want you to ever think that you don't. And I know we have those days when we just don't understand or don't think we're making a difference. But that's one of the main thing reasons why people like yourself, I needed to connect with you on air, because now you'll have a living testament to your history. Sometimes you're living, listening to it back, we don't really understand where we've come from and what we've done until we read our print. Most of the time, if we read our own obituaries, we'd probably be impressed with what actually was done, and probably in some cases wouldn't even think they were talking about us. But I need men like yourselves, men like myself, and like other guys we've had interviewed across this month to understand their greatness, their impact, and own their place in history. You're owning it by what you're doing right now. But accepting the fact that it is historical, understanding the impact and the importance of it, and I know a lot of us were trained to be, you know, quiet people, men being humble people. And it sounds like we're, you know, trying to push people and elevate. No, we're just saying, look, we need to make sure we understand exactly what we're talking about here. This is history in the making. Owning our place in history. In fact, I'm working with Alan Chua right now, making some shirts that talk about I'm a history maker. Because we need to understand that. We need to own that piece. We can't just leave it to someone else to claim that place in life, in our own life. But we are history makers. We are doing exactly what the Lord called us to do every single day, and we're owning that piece. And we're not going to be upset about it. We're going to be unapologetic about what we're doing in our life. Again, you've been listening to the Raising Men Show. Had a great guest on this week. Again, history in the making. We'll be right back here next week with another opportunity to speak about another great history maker. See you all next week.
It's been a long time.
Reach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in, and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.